Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for the Economics Report and American Mosaic, coming up after As It Is.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. It's time to learn and improve your American English and find out about our world at the same time. Today, we examine the situation in Ukraine after last Sunday's elections. It is a complex situation, and we will try to make it easier to understand. Then it's up, up, and away. The American Space Agency has plans for another trip to Mars. But this time, they want to study deep inside the Red Planet. We are happy that you have decided to spend some time with us as we talk about our world. Voters in Ukraine elected a new president last Sunday. Wealthy businessman Petro Poroshenko won the election. Pro-European candidates also received many votes. In other European countries last weekend, many people were voting in European Parliament elections. Voters there supported parties that want to close Europe's doors. Christopher Cruz tells us how the growing strength of those parties could affect Ukraine's future.
The results of the European Parliament elections may reduce Ukraine's chances of stronger ties with the rest of Europe. Almost one-third of the members who will sit in the Parliament come from parties hostile to the European Union and to EU expansion. In many cases, the new members are fully supportive of Russian President Vladimir Putin. Maria Lippmann works for the Carnegie Moscow Center, part of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. She predicts that members opposed to the EU will seek to block financial aid to Ukraine.
The result of the European Parliament election is not good for Ukraine. Presages more difficult decisions having to do with aid to Ukraine. The European Union already has serious burdens. It is not in excellent shape economically. To assume yet another burden that Ukraine is and to allocate actually huge funds to Ukraine is a difficult decision.
On Monday, the head of the EU Parliament delegation in Ukraine said the EU is ready to sign a free trade zone agreement with Ukraine and to continue talks on visa-free travel. But back in Brussels, a growing number of European Parliament members may want to close Europe's doors. They say Ukraine is Russia's problem, and the Russian government is reaching out to these anti-EU politicians. Last month, the leader of France's National Front, Marine Le Pen, visited Moscow. She praised President Putin and said there was no point in Ukraine joining the EU. Last Sunday, her party won the most seats of any French party in the European elections. Russian state media have produced a number of reports about Europe's nationalist and Eurosceptic parties. The Russian government provides financial support for the Russian television station RT. Over the past 4 years, RT has reported on Marine Le Pen 144 times. The station spoke with Nigel Farage, the leader of the UK Independence Party, a total of 17 times. Peter Krekow has been watching Mr. Farage.
He makes a lot of statements praising Russia and making a lot of statements about the greatness of Putin and how he handled the Syrian and then the Crimean conflict. And Nigel Farage have a lot of coverage in the pro-Russian media, including Voice of Russia, Russian television.
In the elections on Sunday, UKIP won the most votes of any party in Britain. In Moscow, government officials are clearly pleased with the turn of events. But criticism came from Wall Street Journal reporter John Vineker in Paris. He wrote that Mr. Putin can count at the least on Marine Le Pen as being appeasement's loudest cheerleader. In the struggle over Ukraine's future, it appears that some Western Europeans are pushing east. I'm Christopher Cruz.
The American Space Agency, NASA, recently approved plans for building a new Mars lander, but this time is different. NASA officials want the new lander to study the deep interior, or inside surface, of the red planet. Jonathan Evans has his eye to the sky and his voice on the air.
The new project is called InSight. The name comes from a much longer term, the Interior Exploration Using Seismic Investigations, Geodesy, and Heat Transport. NASA officials plan to launch the Mars lander from the Vandenberg Air Force Base in California in March of 2016. It is expected to arrive on Mars 6 months later. Bruce Bannert works at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in California. He is the InSight's lead investigator. He says some of the technology the Mars lander will use on Mars is similar to what scientists have been using to study Earth.
The idea behind it is to use some geophysical instruments, mostly a seismometer and a heat flow probe, to better understand the interior structure of Mars, both its composition, layering, what's going on inside, stuff like that.
Bruce Bannert says InSight's study of Mars may provide new information about how our own planet was created. He says it may also tell about other Earth-like planets.
We really want to understand how the terrestrial planets, the rocky planets, formed early on in the solar system and how that formation sort of led to the kinds of conditions we have on the surface.
NASA officials have no plans to send the new lander on trips across the red planet. The InSight will instead be sent to an area near the Martian equator. It will stay there to carry out research. Bruce Bannert says the lander will gather information about the geography, the natural and physical qualities of the inner planet.
And by that I mean, how thick is the crust? What's the crust made out of? And then how big is the core? And what is it made out of? What are the thermal characteristics of everything in terms of the heat flow, energy production, things like that?
The spacecraft will carry a number of new instruments on the trip. The space agencies of four European countries are providing two of the most important tools. One is a seismometer that will measure and study seismic waves that shake the ground. Another tool is a heat flow probe that will reach about 4.5 to 5 meters under the Martian surface. The device will measure small increases in temperature as it digs underground. Bruce Bannert says this tool will help scientists find how much heat is coming from the interior.
This heat flow is what drives a lot of the geology. It drives volcanism. On Mars, it can drive uplift of mountain ranges. And so the amount of heat coming out is a really basic parameter that we need to learn in order to find out how active a planet is.
The new Mars lander will also be equipped with a weather station and a camera. InSight's work is expected to last about one Mars year or two Earth years. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. You've been listening to As It Is on VOA.
The Economics Report is next, followed by American Mosaic. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Economics Report. Low-cost health insurance is about to be available to students and informal sector employees in Senegal through a World Bank program. Nearly two-thirds of all Senegalese are unable to get health insurance. Many of these people fall into debt when they get sick or suffer an accident. The World Bank Group's International Finance Corporation is working with the International Center for Development and Research to provide the insurance. The bank says it plans to offer low-cost private health insurance plans in Senegal as part of the area's first private copay program. Tiphaine Kren is an operations officer at the IFC. He says health insurance through private companies is very costly in the West African nation. He says about 65% of people in Senegal do not have any health care coverage. In Senegal, only civil service employees or workers at companies with more than 50 employees are able to receive health care coverage. Mr. Kren said this means many people take out loans to pay for the cost of health care. He says this can empty a family's savings. The IFC says that it will work with six private Senegalese insurance companies to share the costs of health risks. It says it will offer micro health care products at well below normal cost. Mr. Kren said other health care plans can cost between $500 and $600 a year in Senegal and are difficult to get. The IFC program will offer plans as low as $16 per year, although plans that include hospital visits will cost up to $60 per year. Students can get basic health care and pharmacy services if they get injured at school or on the way to school for just $3 per year. In exchange for these yearly fees, people will receive a health card that requires them to make payments of equal to 20% of normal treatment or medication costs. Mr. Kren said such a system could change the future of health care in Africa. He said if the system really works, it could provide a lesson for West Africa. Mr. Kren said the pilot program plans to target around 108,000 people during the first year in Dakar. The program is expected to expand to Senegal's Thiès and Saint-Louis areas. After that, the program may be offered in neighboring countries. And that's the VOA Learning English Economics Report. VOA's Jennifer Lazuta provided this report from Dakar. I'm Mario Ritter.
Welcome to American Mosaic from VOA Learning English. I'm Katie Weaver. Today on the show, we remember the life and career of one of America's most important literary minds, Maya Angelou.
I walk into a room just as cool as you please, and to a man the fellows stand or fall down on their knees.
So he gave it a name. So he gave it a name.
Later, we play some music by Bruce Springsteen and hear from a music critic who has rated 100 songs by The Boss. On Wednesday, the world lost a major voice in American literature. The writer, performer, and activist Maya Angelou died at her home in North Carolina. She was 86 years old. Jonathan Evans remembers her life and career.
Maya Angelou was born in St. Louis, Missouri, in 1928. She spent much of her childhood with her grandmother in Tiny Stamps, Arkansas. For Southern blacks, those years were a time of official racism and economic struggle. Maya Angelou said what made life acceptable were the stories, songs, and traditions passed down from one generation to the next. She once described how art worked a special kind of magic at her local black church.
The church I belonged to was even smaller than any aspiration in the town. When all the members were there, we had 32 people in the whole church. And yet, in that church, I learned so much about the power of art to help human beings transcend almost anything.
Her writing career began after writer James Baldwin and other friends heard her childhood stories. They urged Angelou to write them down. She published I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings in 1969. It was the first book of a series of six about her life. She also wrote essays, poetry, plays, and movie screenplays. Her words moved students and presidents. She was invited to read a poem at the inauguration of President Bill Clinton in 1993.
Here, on the pulse of this new day, you may have the grace to look up and out and into your sister's eyes, and into your brother's face, your country, and say simply, very simply, with hope, good morning.
Nelson Mandela read Angelou's poem, Still I Rise, at his 1994 inauguration as President of South Africa. Here are its opening lines.
You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still, like dust, I'll rise.
Although she never went to college, Angelou was awarded more than 30 honorary degrees. She also received a National Medal of Arts and the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Later this week, she was to be presented with an award from Major League Baseball for her civil rights work. She had to cancel her appearance at the ceremony for health reasons. Maya Angelou taught for more than 30 years at Wake Forest University in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. University President Nathan Hatch called her a national treasure whose life and teachings inspired millions around the world. He said, "We will miss profoundly her lyrical voice and always keen insights. Media star Oprah Winfrey was a very close friend of Maya Angelou. Winfrey said Angelou will always be the rainbow in my clouds. I'm Jonathan Evans.
Musician, singer, songwriter Bruce Springsteen is one of the world's best-selling artists, with a career that covers 40 years. In a new book, Counting Down Bruce Springsteen, writer and music critic Jim Baviglia rates Springsteen's songs. The rating is based partly on how powerfully the words express people's fears, hopes, and dreams. Christopher Cruz reports.
I got my finger on the trigger, but I don't know who to trust. When I look into your eyes, there's just devils in dust. We're a long, long way from home, Bob.
Bruce Springsteen is known for his poetic songs that deal with social and political issues, as well as more personal subjects. His energetic live performances are also famous. Music journalist Jim Baviglia says the artist's childhood in a New Jersey working-class family was a major influence on his music.
The social and the political issues, Springsteen's never been shy about writing about those. They sort of started to come into play with an album called Darkness on the Edge of Town, where he started to look at sort of small town lives and how people, you know, just sort of doing the same things that their parents did and couldn't get out of that.
Mr. Baviglia says the music grew even darker in the 1982 album Nebraska. He says those songs show people pushed to the edge of poverty and criminal activity. 13 years later, Springsteen released The Ghost of Tom Joad. Mr. Baviglia says the album was a direct discussion of issues like immigration, hunger, and poverty.
Men walking along the railroad tracks, going someplace and there's no going back. Highway patrol choppers coming up over the ridge. Hot soup on a campfire in the breeze. Shelter line stretching round the corner. Welcome to the new world order. Family sleeping in their car in the southwest. No home, no job, no peace, no rest. Well, the highway is alive tonight. But nobody's kidding nobody about where it goes.
Then, in 2012, in the album Wrecking Ball, the critic says Springsteen found people to blame for some of those social problems.
Wrecking Ball really pointed at the sort of the financial leaders and the powers that allow the sort of dichotomy between the rich and the poor.
One of Springsteen's best-known songs, Born in the USA, is 9 on Baviglia's list.
and it's this amazingly complex song. It's got this really rousing music, very patriotic, big drums. You know, it's used in fireworks displays, but when you get it to the lyrics, it's a very sharp criticism of the way America treated its Vietnam vets upon returning home.
End up like a dog that's been beat too much till you spend half your life just covering up now. Born in the USA, I was born in the USA.
The song was released in 1984 as President Ronald Reagan was running for re-election. Jim Baviglia says that conservative politicians and observers misunderstood the song.
It came out in 1984, and a couple conservative politicians sort of picked up on the song. They talked about how Springsteen, you know, sort of reflected the American values, and Springsteen, when he found out about that, quickly pulled back, and he said, well, wait a second here. They're sort of mistaking this song here. This is more of a criticism, and, you know, maybe their values don't sort of coincide with my values.
I hold you in my arms. It's a band play. What are those words whispered, baby?
Springsteen also wrote about personal relationships. Mr. Baviglia places Brilliant Disguise in fifth place on his list of Springsteen's 100 finest songs. The song is from the 1987 album Tunnel of Love.
Tell me what I see.
It's basically a couple who are putting on disguises for each other because they don't reveal their true selves, and there's mistrust, and the relationship is kind of crumbling.
Mr. Baviglia says that was the state of Springsteen's marriage at the time. He and his first wife divorced shortly after. Born to Run tops Baviglia's list.
In the day we sweated out on the streets of a runaway American dream. At night we ride to mansions of glory and suicide machines. Sprung from cages on Highway 9, chrome wheel, fuel injected, and stepping out over the line.
He says Springsteen's album company was thinking of ending business with him after poor sales of his first two albums. But then, Born to Run hit the stores and airwaves in 1975. It saved Springsteen's career.
The lyrics, they leave you breathless, this idea of, you know, maybe we never can actually get free from our past, from our hometowns and things like that, but you have to give it a shot and take your chance. You know, it cost a lot of money to produce. He used all these instruments, and had it failed, I mean, we might not be talking about Bruce Springsteen today.
But we are talking about him and listening to him. Jim Baviglia says the musician's ability to stay true to himself and express the concerns and hopes of ordinary people is what has made him a living legend.
Like us, baby, we were born to run.
I'm Katie Weaver. Join us again next week for American Mosaic from VOA Learning English.
When you let me in, I want to be your friend. I want to guard your dreams and visions. Just wrap your legs around these velvet rims and strap your